Turning then, please, to the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis and reading from the beginning of that chapter. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot was in the gates of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. O let me escape thither, is it not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. And for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the children, is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now the Lord will bless his word. When we address our attention to the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, we really are coming to what is a remarkable chapter and probably one of the very significant chapters of the Bible. And I want this evening just to go down through this chapter and to learn some lessons that can be learned from the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. It is interesting to notice that the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah comes before the birth of Isaac. And of course, the son is given in promise after judgment falls. Now, that is a general principle in the Word of God, that judgment falls and promise is fulfilled after it. We will get that in the day of wrath that comes upon the earth, that after that falls, the blessing of God will be seen and the promise to Israel will be seen to be fulfilled in the setting up of that kingdom when there will be one who will rule from Zion. And here you have the same principle here, that this judgment comes at this time. Now, we must not at any time feel that there is any sympathy for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah for reasons to which I will direct your attention in a few moments. And so, let us look first of all at the entrance of the two angels into Sodom. And that is seen in the opening three verses or so of the chapter. Observe, please, the great difference there was between the coming to the tent of Abraham and coming to the gate of Sodom. There are a number of differences. The first difference is that Abraham was sitting at the door of his tent, and here this man Lot is sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now the gate, of course, as most will be aware, is the place of judgment. It is the court. It is the place where matters were brought so that there might be a judgment passed. And so he's sitting at the place of judgment in a city that is exceedingly sinful. And that is quite the difference. It is 19 years probably since Lot entered into Sodom. It is probably about 15 years since he was rescued from the clutches of Kedorlaomer. 15 years he's had. 15 years. 19 years probably since he went into Sodom. So he is a settled resident now. And he's been there for touching 20 years. Observe, please, that the Lord did not enter Sodom. It was the two angels who came at even as Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, this is the even that started, or rather, the noonday of which we read of in chapter number 18. At noontime, in the heat of the day, the Lord appeared to him as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and that was at the time what would be about noon, the very heat of the day, or early in the afternoon. And now it is at even, and the day is almost over, and these two angels come into Sodom. I want you to notice, please, how Lot is addressed, how Lot addresses them. He bows himself with his face toward the ground, and he says, Behold now, my lords. Now stop there. You remember last night I referred to the fact that Abraham said, My lord. Now I asserted that that was an indication that Abraham knew that the divine visitant had come, that it was none other than a divine person. Now that truly is what is signified by that. If you look, for instance, at such a august publication as the Word Study Dictionary of the Bible, you will find that it states quite assertively that it is a masculine noun that is used exclusively of God. And I'm quoting it. But when you turn to Lot, what he uses is a shorter word. It is the word that the is extended and amplified and was used by Abraham. But now it is a masculine word meaning Lord or Master that may refer to a divine person, but usually in its context refers to a man, a human. And so you see, he has no indication at all that this is anything but men who've come. My lords, it was a courteous title. It was just what one would expect visitors to be called out of the courtesy of the day. He says, wash your feet, rise up early, go your way. And they said, no, but we shall abide in the street all night. Do you notice there was a reluctance on the part of these men to enter into the house of Lot? They say, we'll abide in the street all night. Now that does not mean to say that they had a change of mind. What it does mean to say is that they're showing Lot that there is no rush on their part, that it is not a must to be in the house of Lot, that there is just rather a little reticence and reluctance. Compare that to the ready acceptance that there was of the invitation of Abraham. My brethren and sisters, the difference was this, that Abraham knew his God, Lot did not. 20 years had corroded the spiritual life of Lot. 20 years had acted as a damper to any spiritual exercises he might ever have. 20 years had dulled his spiritual senses, and we will see that. Young brother, young sister, go into the world, rub shoulders with the world, enjoy the company of the world, and it will corrode your spiritual life. It will weaken it. It will break it. It will destroy it. The world always has that effect and influence on believers. We say of the world, and we say rightly, that these are not our people. They're different people with different aspirations, with different ambitions, and using a modern expression, with a different worldview and with no eternal view whatsoever. That's what the world is. There is not one single thing in common between a believer in the world as far as character, expectation, thought is concerned. We are born from above. Now this man Lot, living with them, rubbing shoulders with them, enjoying their company, I tell you, we will see later this evening just how corroded had become his spiritual sensibilities. And so these people come and they are brought into his home, reluctant to enter and very different from the welcome given by Abraham. But I want you to notice more than their entrance, I want you to notice secondly the evil intent of the men of the city. We are abhorred when we read this. There truly was an evil intent. You know, don't you, that even before they lay down to sleep, the men of city of Sodom compassed the house round about. Word had spread there were two visitors. And Sodom has only one intent, only one purpose, a deliberate purpose. Do you see? They gather round the home. The cry for the two men. Now, I want to show you another indication of the utter corrosion of the heart and mind of Lot. He says this, I won't give you them, but as a compensation, I'll give you my two daughters. Do we see how low he has sunk? I tell you this, when a believer walks a pathway of disobedience, there is no bottom to the depth to which they might sink. Once the devil gets a grip, and once the devil lays hold of you, he has a purpose of pulling a believer as low as it is possible to go, because a low, debased, degraded believer is an insult to the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what he purposes to do. Young brother, young sister, watch that world. The devil is a murderer, a liar from the beginning. That old serpent, the devil, watch, he wants to bring you down. He wants to destroy your testimony for the rest of your days. And this man, Lot, offers these evil, sensual, unnatural men his two daughters to do with them as he would, or as they would. Let me say again, we're astounded at that. When we read in the New Testament Bible that Lot's righteous soul was grieved. But listen, you can be grieved by something, but still dragged down by it. Now let me say that again. You can be grieved by something, but still dragged down by it. This man, Lot, had an opportunity 15 years before this to start again. After the victory over Kedorlaomer, and after he was returned, there was the possibility of starting again. Am I speaking to somebody, and you've had the chance to start again? You know you have not been what you should be. It may even be that these Bible readings are going to be the linchpin, or they're going to be the hinge in which your life will turn. And there's the opportunity to start again. Grasp it with both hands. Hang on to it dearly, because I tell you, if you don't, you could tread the pathway of one such as Lot. We are not playing at meetings when we say that. The spiritual map of this country has on it many sad black marks. Now, my brother, my sister, if you're sitting saying tonight, it could never happen to me. No one in this hall, speakers included, dare say that. There, but for the grace of God, may well go us. And pray that by the grace of God, we avoid the dreadful, dreadful, debased condition of a man whose righteous soul was vexed by all he saw around him, but still was prepared to offer his daughters to be abused by an ungodly, sensual, fleshly, thirsty mob. But you see what they wanted. They didn't want the girls, they wanted the men. If anybody ever tells you that homosexuality or lesbianism is an alternative lifestyle, tell them to read Genesis chapter number 19. Here was a society so debased, so degraded, because such practices are an absolute affront to God. I've had cause to be questioned by some young believers being taught in school. And they said, can you tell me, is it actually as bad as you say it is? I say, no, it's not actually as bad as I say it is. It's much worse. There is nothing attractive, nothing appealing, nothing right, nothing righteous. It is an attack at God's basic order of creation. There are only two sexes, not three. And this is a society corrupted and corroded and debased by unnatural practices. My brethren and sisters, we live in a society that has run fast in the same direction. 40 years ago, 50 years ago, such acts were criminal offences. Now they are actively taught and actively promoted. They are devilish, they are satanic, they are evil, they are dark, and they deserve the judgment of God. Now you say, you're very harsh. Not harsh enough. That's what you find here. These men did not want the women, they wanted the men. In their evil, satanic desires. So I learned this from Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is a story that history has repeated over again. The fall of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the fall of the German Empire, the fall of the Roman Empire. The fall of the Western Roman Empire. And then the Eastern, the Byzantine. The fall of the great the rule of Turkey right throughout the whole of North Africa and the Middle East.
all had one common sin. It was this. And we're about to see that a society consumed and convulsed by this is a society that God will judge. God will judge. I trust I've been strong enough about that. I know I may be preaching to the converted, but if there's young folks here, listen, there's no excuse for it. There's no reasonableness about discussing it. It is simply evil. It is simply wrong. It is the devil seeking to corrupt the very source of life itself, in a sense. That order that was given by God, man and woman. Now, you will find folks who propound this sound reasonable and sound pleasant and sound nice, and it's so such a reasonable thing. But I want to tell you this tonight, that behind that reason there is arrant, utter, corrupt evil. Now, that was the evil intent. Do you notice? He himself knew it was wicked. I pray you, do not. So he knew what they were after. He knew. But he offers his daughters. The evil intent of the men of Sodom. Now let's go on a little. I want to speak now about the departure out of Sodom. Do you notice that these men, by the way, they were smote with blindness. That simply means what it says. They were unable to fulfill their unnatural desires. And they were smote with, so that they wearied themselves to find. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou in here? Now listen, when you read this, you might think, I've seen efforts to make this add up to 10, so that would explain why Abraham started at 10, or stopped at 10, you know, in that debate. Well, I've mentioned this so often to a lot of you, in a phrase that I heard Hugh Scott use a few times when we, as young men, threw great gems at him. He used to say, it's a lovely thought, a pity it's not in the Bible. So every lovely thought is not in the Bible, you see. And he used to tell us that. Well, it would be good to think that was 10. Well, if you look very carefully, you will find this. And I don't have time to go into it tonight. There was Lot and his wife and two daughters. That was all. You might think, well, there were sons-in-law. No, as a matter of fact, they were not sons-in-law. Because if you're to read verse number 14, spake unto his sons-in-law which married, more suggestively it should be which were to marry his daughters. So they were to marry his daughters. Now that told me that not everybody in this society had been tarred with that brush. There was one or two who were separate from it. But nevertheless, it certainly was the whole character of the place. And it was flagrantly done openly. Now, here we've got Lot and his two daughters. Now, I want you to notice, please, just what happens when it comes to leave the city. It's quite interesting, actually, why there were two men. My arithmetic's quite sound in this. Two men mean four hands. Nobody's disagreeing with me. I'm glad at that. I've got that far. And four hands for the four people who would come out of Sodom. Says they took them by the hand. So that tells me that even before the event took place, the Lord knew how many would be coming out. Two hands, you see. Perhaps one of them took the two daughters, and perhaps one of them took Lot and his wife. Nevertheless, there was four of them. Now, I want you to notice, please, that on going out, here we have it, we've got to get the right chapter. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any? And of course, we know what happens there. And we will destroy this place. Lot went out, he spoke to his sons-in-law. Now, I want to speak a little about Lot just here. How then did Lot live in that place for all these years? Well, he was righteous, but he lived rubbing shoulders with sin. You say, but he actually was a judge to try and suppress the sin. He was a judge who tried to make sure that that sin was kept down. Well, you can see how unsuccessful he was. My brethren and sisters, we never would win in seeking to better society. It doesn't work. That's why We don't, you know, I don't know anything about voting or anything. I don't know whether you vote or not. I don't. I'm persuaded believers shouldn't. But nevertheless, you can put 20 votes and stuff the ballot boxes as much as you like. At the end of the day, the powers that be are ordained of God. At the end of the day, he rules over everything. And it doesn't matter what you do. You're not going to make a bit of difference. The powers, there's this great contest going on in America at the moment. What you are actually waiting to see is not the man or the woman that the Americans have chosen. It's to wait and see the man or the woman that God has chosen. You know, that's what we're waiting to see. Well, you're maybe not waiting to see it. You're maybe not interested in it. But that's what the Americans are waiting to see, you know. And so here we have them in this place. He lived with sin. I want you to notice, he sought to control sin in society. He lived with it, he sought to control it, and I want you to notice, because of that, he tangled his family in the society of Sodom. Oh, there was two men that wanted to marry them, but they themselves were unbelievers. Now listen, if you bring up your family just as they should be according to Scripture, it's no guarantee that they will be believers and go on for God. That's no guarantee. But you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you brought them up the right way. That's the thing. That's the business, you see. No guarantees. Good men had bad sons. Bad fathers had good sons. And good fathers had bad sons. And bad fathers had bad sons. And good fathers had good sons. I hope I haven't got mixed up there. But you understand what I mean. It doesn't run in the blood, but you will know. Now, this man, I've no doubt at all that he tried to bring them up the right way. But the problem was this, that any teaching he gave them would be inconsistent with his life. They would say, well, why are we here? Why have you brought us here? So any teaching he gave would be completely inconsistent with his life. You brought us here, and you're living in the middle of it, and you had an opportunity 15 years ago to get out of it, and you came back. Why? I tell you, families ask these questions. I want you to observe, please, just that. He tangled his family in it. Now, I want to ask another question. What influence did he have? I tell you, he had no influence with the world. They wouldn't listen. And he had no influence with his sons-in-law to be. And I want you to notice, he effectively destroyed any decent relationship with his family. Because in offering them to the mob to be abused, what happened quite at the end was they regarded him with no dignity or honor whatsoever. And they themselves acted dreadfully towards him. But they had no respect for him. The respect of his family had gone. His influence with the world was nil. And what do we see about this man, Lot? I can tell you, and I'll tell you just in a few moments, exactly what he lost. He was about 20 years in Sodom. And it's exactly what he lost that we must consider. But he's now taking, they're now going out. Do you notice? The departure takes from verse 12 to verse number 16. While he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and the hand of his two daughters. That's why I say four hands for four people. And dragging them out, taking them out. I tell you, what you see here is the grace of God. That's what you see. I tell you, even those who are God's people who sink into the world, and that kind of thing, well, oftentimes, you know, oftentimes in life we've seen it. Not always, but oftentimes we've seen it, that the Lord just acts to drag them out sometimes. Doesn't always happen. Now, let us see for a minute. And so we turn to verse 17. Verse 17, it's an opportunity missed. Do you see them going out now? When they came out. Now, do you notice, please, a very interesting thing here. They have come, it came to pass, when they, that is the two men, had brought them forth abroad, that, now stop there. Now, young believers, there is never insignificance in the change of a word. See the change here. It came to pass when they had brought them forth, that he said. So it moves from the plural to the singular. When they brought them forth, that's the two men, the two angels, because they were angels appearing as men. He said, who was the he? Well, one expositor claims that actually it really meant both of them. Well, why does it not just say they said? And then one of them says, oh, well, it meant one of them. See, it seems a bit odd to me that. The other suggestion, which I embrace, is this, that the Lord did not go down into Sodom, but waited outside it. And that who is addressed in verse number 18 is the Lord. Who speaks is the Lord. Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou nor escape. And the Lord said unto them. Do you notice back to the them again? It was a singular. And there are many authorities take that view. It's not just my view. I think it seems to fit exactly the situation. And Lot says, oh, not so, my Lord. Now, do you see that? Not so, my Lord. That is the same word that is used by Abraham in chapter 18, verse 3. Exactly the same one. So it seems to be that suddenly he realizes who this is. Not so, my Lord. Behold, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Now, do you see this? And thou hast magnified thy mercy, etc. Do you see this? He is not now speaking to angels. He's speaking to the Lord. Behold now thy servant. There is an opportunity missed. He could escape to the mountains. To where? He could escape to his uncle Abraham. Here is another second opportunity to get something out of the ashes of the destruction of his life. Can something be got out of these ashes? Yes, escape to the mountain. Get to where your uncle is. Get back to where your uncle is. Get back onto separated ground. But do you know this? He's such a lover of city life that he must go. And he must go into a little city. He wants to go into the little city. He leaves that shortly. Because I take it to be that that little city would have been overthrown as well. But he's told, I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. And that must have rung in his mind and rung in his mind and rung in his mind until eventually he left it, fearing that the destruction that fell in Sodom would fall on that as well. Living a worldly life. You've had an opportunity to break it. And you've kept going. It may be like this man that you got a second opportunity. Listen. Don't turn it down. This day, if we're spared in over 4 hours, we'll be over. You can't live it again. It's gone. And at the end of the day, we will stand, and God will not judge our life by years. He will judge it by days. That's why we find in the expression, the days of the years of. It's not block, it's individual days. And if you're travelling the long journey, and I'm still going to the meetings, but you know you have a life that your brethren don't know anything about. And you know you have interests that your brethren know nothing about. I tell you, you've got an opportunity tonight to turn away from that and to get yourself right with God. Do you notice what lost? Notice what he lost, please. 20 years. Can I tell you, he lost his family. He lost his honor. He lost his life with God. He lost his power for God. I tell you, he lost all of that. He lost the respect of his daughters. He lost everything. And if you turn away down the pathway of disobedience, no matter how successful the world sees you to be, you are a loser. You've lost, and you're a loser. I tell you, only what's done for Christ will last. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll be seen to be a loser. But his wife looks back, you see. Well, there's just something about, she can't let go. She must look. I take it to be that she looked because her heart lay there. That's where her heart lay. And she looked. There was something about the place still attracted. She must look back. And her heart lay there, and she's gone. And Abraham, I want you to notice, please, from verse number 27, there was an opportunity missed. But look at this. Abraham got up early in the morning. He looked towards Sodom, and lo, the smoke went up, etc. Do you see that? The smoke went up. And he looked towards Sodom and toward the plain, and behold, the smoke, and went up as the smoke of a furnace. I tell you, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place. I think what we have here is Abraham. And I would just say that he was a spiritual observer of this. And he's up anxious to see what's happened. What has happened? Has his intercession worked? And he looks and he sees the ashes of Sodom and Gomorrah, the destroyed valley. But I no doubt at all that he would learn what happened. Because look at what it says. God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the city. And that's why he went. It was God honoring the intercession of Abraham. Let me say what I said the other night, you know. One of the reasons why prayer discipline in life is so difficult to enforce, and it is difficult, isn't it? If you say no, it's very easy. Well, just say that loudly at the end of the meeting and everybody in this hall will be around you asking, well, how do you manage it? You know what it's like in the morning. The devil says to you, look, you've a lot to do today and it's the Lord's work, you know. It's the Lord's work. And you've a lot to do. Look, just get on with the work because you've so much to do. And by the time it comes evening, why, you'll have everything done and you'll be relaxed and you'll have plenty of time and your mind can be settled and you can pray as long as you like. And then when you get to the evening, he says, look, man, you're dog tired. You could never ever do it. I'll tell you what, leave it to the morning because you'll be fresh and your mind will be free. And then in the morning, it's, well, look, it goes on and on and on and on. Well, do you know why it's so difficult to pray? Because the devil's afraid of prayer. For this reason, the devil understands the power of prayer. We don't. He understands the power of prayer. That's why he makes it difficult. Oh, if he can just stop you praying, he can suck power out of your life. And here was the intercessor. And the intercessor, Abraham, is credited with the deliverance of Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. I tell you that. That's a great thing. A great thing. When the intercessor is... It's a bit like, isn't it, the battle in the valley when Joshua was leading the troops of Israel. And you know that Aaron and Hur, you know, and held up the hands of Moses. I remember speaking about Aaron and Hur. And after at the end of it, a young brother came to me and said, what was her name? He thought it was a Glasgow H-E-R, you know, her. I looked stunned. I said, her name, who? What, with the woman that was up with... No. But remember when I was up, and every time the hands went down, the battle went badly. And every time... My brethren and sisters, you go into your room tonight and pray, and if you're praying for somebody on the other side of the world, you know, your prayers actually, really, truly... will help these dear saints. Now, if you don't believe that, that's what the Bible says. ye also helping together by prayer. Says Paul, I felt your help. Now finally, and I must finish. Finally, what could we say about the tragic last mention of this man? Their father did not want to spare them, so they did not spare him. By the time it comes to this point, they have no respect for him whatsoever. I don't think I need to say much about this. Sufficient to say that the two nations that came from this dreadful relationship, blood relations of Israel, the Moabite and the Ammonite, were not to enter into the congregation forever, it says in Deuteronomy 23. They were enemies of Israel, pictures of the flesh. And the word of God tells us, because they refuse bread and water for Israel, and hired Balaam against them. That's what he passed on. That was what he passed on at the end of his days. He passed on two nations that would be enemies of Israel. My brethren and sisters, if the Lord does not come, just make sure that what you pass on is for the profit of future generations and not something that will affect them adversely and be an enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lot, a righteous man, but a failure.